Good morning. Today's daf in Yom Tov Zayin. We are in Tezvav Amud Beis. We're about 8-9 lines from the bottom of the Amud. We're starting with the words Tanan Hasam. There is one topic that's going to be covering our daf today, and that is attribution of the Mishnayos and Masechta Midos. It's a funny topic to come up here in Yuma, but it is relevant. In yesterday's Gemara, we noted that there were steers between the Mishnayos here in Yuma and the Mishnayos over there in Midos. As a proposal of the Gemara over there, the Gemara said that the Mishnayos and Midos. First, the Gemara yesterday suggested that the Mishnayos and Midos are going like Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah. That was one proposal of the Gemara, but the Gemara ended up backtracking on that. The Gemara says the Mishnayos and Yuma are going like Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah. So we know that when given a picture of the Beis Hamikdash, so it follows a single Tana. As a general question, which I don't have an answer for. The Beis Hamikdash, second Beis Hamikdash, was around for at least 420 years. Our Masorah is that it's 420 years. And so it is somewhat interesting, curious, that we're debating the structure and the placement of all the rooms in the Beis Hamikdash. And so how do we not have a Masorah for that? And how is this subject to a Machlokas? Okay. There's certain things, by the way, even as I don't have an answer to that question, there's certain things which are givens, meaning that not everything is up for debate and deliberation. But there are a number of things that we're going to see in today's daf that's up for debate and up for deliberation. And so how is that the case when we're dealing with basically facts on the ground? And I mean that over here literally, it's facts on the ground. So I don't know. I don't have a great response to that. But the Mishnayos and Midos give us one version, one viewpoint, and the Mishnayos and Yuma give another one. Fine. So that's what we dealt with already. Not even yesterday's daf. That was 2 days ago, right on Yudal Amud Beis. So the Gemara noted that our Mishnayos here in Yuma are not in sync or not in coordination with the Mishnayos in Midos. On top of that, yesterday's daf was dedicated to the topic of, you know, the Mishnayos in Yuma don't seemingly be giving the same version, the same picture. But not in terms of the structure of the Beis Hamikdash, but in terms of the Seder HaAvoda, the sequence of the Avoda. That was yesterday's daf. And the Gemara smoothed that over, or at least attempted to smooth it over. We had two basic approaches in yesterday's daf. We had Abai, we had Rav Papa, in terms of how to iron out the Mishnayos and Yuma. Good. Now, for today's daf, it starts in yesterday's daf, but it really is, this is an independent topic, and that is the Mishnayos and Midos. It's going like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. I'll tell you what, that is really the conclusion of today's daf, meaning that sentence in of itself, okay, you can all go home, you can, But it's all in the details, and boy, are there going to be a lot of details today. But that's the basic point of today's daf, that the Mishnayos and Midos are giving us a depiction of the Beis Hamikdash according to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay, that's the daf in a nutshell. Again, just before we start, the daf is short. And there are a lot of numbers over here. And if you have a visual aid, it'd be really helpful because everything over here today is going to be visual in nature. So fine. So I have a visual aid right in front of me right now. So if you have a visual aid, that would be extraordinarily helpful. The Mishnah begins now. We're going to be doing a first Mishnah here in Midos. So I was going to make a point. Just a historical point, just to get our bearings over here. Obviously, there were two Bate Mikdash so far in history. There was also Mishkan Shiloh, which, you know, it's not a small thing historically, 369 years where it stood. But in terms of the Beis Hamikdash, it was the first and second Beis Hamikdash. All the Mishnayos here that we're doing is going to be a description of Bayis Sheni, not Bayis Rishon. Right? Bayis Sheni, which was a larger complex, not in the very beginning. When Ezra came and built it, so it was not. But when it went through all of its remodelings and its upgrades, so basically what we're describing right now is Bayis Sheni. That part's clear. That's just a historical point. Okay, now we can begin. So Tanan Hasam said we're going to be starting off with a Mishnah. Mishnah is Amar Lehem HaMamuna Tzuva Yiviu Tlaim Lishkas Beis HaTlaim. So the Mamuna says, now this is the Mishnah in Tamid. Now remember, the difference between the Mishnah in Tamid and the Mishnah in Midos, right? I've said this already a number of times before, but it's a great way to think about it. So the Mishnah in Midos is structure. The Mishnah in Tamid is operation. The Mishnah Midos literally gives us the structure of the Beis Hamikdash. We're going to be going through a lot of the Mishnayos and Midos today. And again, the whole point of today's daf is that the Mishnayos and Midos are provided to us by Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. The Mishnayos and Tamid is a day in the life. What does a day in the life in the Beis HaMikdash look like? So it basically takes us from the very early morning, the pre-dawn hour, and it takes us through the rest of the day in the Beis HaMikdash, going over what a simple day in the Beis HaMikdash would look like in terms of the Avoda. So structure and operation. Structure is Tamid, operation is... Structure is Midos and operation is Tamid. So with that stated, so here a Mishnah in Tamid. So basically, here we are, play by play, and we are now, Amar Lehem HaMamuna, Tzu Ve'evu, Tzu Lehem Lishkas Beis HaTalayim. Okay, it's time to get the sheep. This is for the Karban Tamid. So V'halo Lishkas HaTalayim Haisa. Now V'halo over here is not a question, it's just simply a point of statement. Rashi says it over here. So V'halo Lishkas HaTalayim Haisa B'mikso Tzfonis Maravis. So where am I going to find it? I'm going to find it in the northwest corner. Now, where are we right now? We're in the Beis HaMokad. So the Beis HaMokad, again, if you remember your Mishnayos in Midos well, so the Beis HaMokad was basically this really large chamber in the northern side of the Azara. We're going to be describing the Beis HaMokad a couple of times this morning. So it was an extraordinarily large chamber. In fact, it was so large that basically it was sectioned off into corners, four corners, which we're describing right now. And the Lishkas HaTalayim is located in the Tzfonis Maravis in the northwest corner. V'arba Lishakos HaYusham, and there were a total of four Lishkos in the Beis HaMokad. Achas Lishkas HaTalayim, the one we just described. Achas Lishkas HaChosamos. The other one was the Lishka where they gave out the tokens. We described those tokens not so long ago in the Mishnayos and Shkalim. V'acha Lishkas Beis HaMokad. Now there was one which is called the Lishkas Beis HaMokad, which is actually in the Beis HaMokad itself. That's the area where there was a constant fire over there. Kohanim would be walking all the time barefoot on the stone floor in the Beis HaMikdash. And understandably, they want a moment in time where they basically can warm up the feet. They simply run to this Beis HaMokad. They go to the corner that has in it the fire. That's the Lishkas Beis HaMokad. And V'achas Lishka Shosim Ba'lechem upon him. And the last one is the Lishka where they had the Lechem upon him, where the Lechem upon him was baked, prepared, stored, something to do with the Lechem upon him. Obviously, the Lechem upon him itself, meaning once finally produced, is put on the Shulchan, which is in not only in the Beis HaMikdash, but in the actual Heichal itself. Fine. So the... So far, a description of the Beis HaMokad. The Vachalishka Shosim Balechem Apan, Viriminu. Okay, so that's the Mishnah in Tamid. And meanwhile, here we are now with the Mishnah in Midos. And that is Viriminu. Arba Lishakos Hayula Beis HaMokad. Kitanios Psuchos Latraklin. So these are basically like four smaller rooms that open up into a larger room. The Beis HaMokad, as we pointed out, is in of itself already a very large room. Shayim B'Kosh V'Shayim B'Chol, two of them are Kosh and two of them are B'Chol. Meaning that the Beis HaMokad itself, its center, right, in terms of a north-south trajectory, its center basically demarcates the area of the Azar and the area of the Har HaBayis. The southern part of the Beis HaMokad was located in the Azara. The northern part of the Beis HaMokad was in the Har HaBayis. Again, if you have a picture, it'd be really helpful to just basically see it all. This entire daf, as I mentioned today, is extraordinarily visual. So, Shayim B'Kosh V'Shayim B'Chol. V'Rashi Pispasim Avdil Mekosh L'Chol. And there were basically some sort of markers that went along this borderline, which is going to separate north from south. Now, exactly, what were these rooms, what were the four rooms that were in the Beis HaMokad? So here now, the Mishnah Midos is going to tell us exactly what we learned in the Mishnah Tamid. But what we have to pick up on and what we have to note is that there's going to be obvious differences between the placement of where these rooms were. So Marav is Drama, so now we are in the southwest. So now we're in the southwest, the Yaisa Lishkas Talai Karban. So that's the Lishkas Talai Karban. Now, obviously already done, meaning we now know that the Mishnah in Midos is not going along the same floor plan as the Mishnah in Tamid. And so that presents a problem. But before we answer the problem, we're going to just first finish the Mishnah in Midos. We are now on the top of Tazayin and Medalf here in Yuma, Dromos Mizrachi. So now we're going to be going to the southeast. We are going to go counterclockwise. Okay, I always need a moment before... But yeah, we went from southwest to southeast. Good. So we're going counterclockwise. So Dromos Mizrachis, so southeast, Yilishka Shayuosim Ba'alachim Apanim. That's the area of the Lachim Apanim, Mizrachit Tzfonis. And now we're up to the northeast. And then Ba'al Ganzu Beis Chashmanai Avnim Bizbech Shashikzu Malchei Ovde Kochavim. So the stones of the Mizbeach, where the Malchei Ovde Kochavim. Over here we're describing the Yavanim. So they came into the Beis HaMikdash and they defiled the Mizbeach. What exactly that means, they defiled the Mizbeach? So it's really an involved discussion. But for our purposes right now, we'll just say simply that they defiled the stones of the Mizbeach, and so therefore the Mizbeach needed a fix up. Obviously, by the way, we're describing the story of Hanukkah over here, where right approximately 150 years prior to the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So there was Greek domination, and there was an uprising, and we defeated the Greeks. It's otherwise known as Hanukkah. So over here, so those stones that were taken off the Mizbeach were placed in the northeast section of the Beis HaMokan. So why were they kept there? So presumably Geniza. In other words, it was a form of Geniza, meaning on one hand, it's like a Sefer Torah that becomes puzzle. You're not going to dispose of it. You just simply put it in Geniza. So over here, so basically it's an act of Geniza. Tzfonis Maravis, so now we're in the northwest. So Ba Yardin LeBeis HaTfilah. So over there in the northwest, steps that went down to the Beis HaTfilah, where if a Kohen becomes Tameh, so he has now a way of going into the Beis HaMokan and then going into some subterranean cavern where there's a mikvah over there, and that's where a Tovah. Good. So a description of the Beis HaMokan as per the Mishnayos and Midos. Okay, and the obvious question over here is that the Mishnayos and Midos and the Mishnayos and Tameh are not in agreement with one another. Interesting, by the way, the Mishnayos and Tameh going back, so it only gives us the orientation of the Lishkas HaTalayim. Right, the rest of them they don't tell us, and it does tell us what the other three corners of the Beis HaMokad were, but it doesn't tell us where they were, and it would probably be it's intuitive to suggest that it's going to either go clockwise or counterclockwise in terms of identifying the other rooms, but we don't have to do that right now. We can keep everything nice and simple. And the simplicity of the problem is that the Mishnah Tami gives us the Lishkas HaTamid in the, I'm sorry, let me go back. So, Vaviu Tleb Milishkas Beis HaTalayim, and the Lishkas Beis HaTalayim was in the northwest, according to the Mishnah in Tamid. And according to the Mishnah in Midos, so it was in Maravis Dromis, it was in the southwest. Okay, so, obviously, that's called a Stira. So I'm Rav Huna, so on that Stira, so the Gemara now quotes the Sheet of Rav Huna, so Mantana Midos Rav Elaz Ben Yaakovi. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's the point, and again, I know it's going to be the conclusion of today's daf. We're going to hear it a couple times today, and that is the Mishnah and Midos are giving us the viewpoint of the Beis HaMikdash according to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Did none, and how do I know that? So what the Gemara is going to be doing today is going to be giving not one, but two proofs that the Mishnah and Midos are going like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov.
What does it matter?
It doesn't. It matters only in the sense that it helps us understand, not understand, but explain the Stira. The Mishnah Talmud is not Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. The Mishnah Midos is Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, and that's it. That's all it does. It just explains that there are discrepancies of what it looks like, and it's accounted for the fact that there are different Tanaim that are providing us these Mishnayos. And the Mishnah Midos is going like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. That's what it does for us. Admittedly, we haven't really answered the question. We just simply said Machlokas and the Mishnah Midos give us one viewpoint. Did none. The Gemara here quotes the Mishnah in Midos. Again, we're going to be seeing a lot of them today. Okay, so if you have pictures in front of you right now, it's extraordinarily helpful. Now, what this Mishnah is going to be doing now is it's going to be basically explaining the elevation of the area of the Beis HaMikdash going from east to west. Everything is going from east to west. The Mishnayos and Midos, which we're going to see later this morning, are going to be giving us a floor plan going from east to west. We're always going to go east to west. The reason why is because you're going up in Kedusha, meaning you're going from the area of the Har HaBayis, Ezra Snashim, to the Azara, to the area of the Mizbeach, which is in the Azara. We're going to go to the actual Heichal itself, and we're going to go up both geographically and also in Kedusha as well. Obviously, culminating in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is on the far west. When we go to the Kotel, so it's the Western Wall, Kotel Maravi. And by the way, it's not the, there is some debate, there is some discussion about this, but I think everyone's in basic agreement now. The Western Wall that we have is the Western Wall to the Har HaBayis, not to the Azara. So the truth of the matter is that the Western Wall is to an even larger perimeter, meaning not the Azara, but the area that's much larger, the area of the Har HaBayis. But that means that every time we're approaching it from the west. So this is the opposite. We're going here from the east to the west. Now, in terms of ascending elevation, so over here, we're going to be unbelievably specific about what that elevation, what that ascent and elevation is. Now, that's important information in of itself, but over here, there's a halachic consideration. So let me just quickly speak out what the halachic consideration is, and that is the paraduma. We've been spending a lot of time over here in Yuma describing the paraduma. So here we get to describe it again. So is it a carbon? The answer is no, even though the Torah describes it as a chatas. But it's not a carbon. Of course it's not a carbon, right? We just read in last week's Parsha, Nachremos, that if you take a carbon, you shecht it outside the base of Mikdash, that's what's called Shchut Echutz. And that's an Issachar. So the carbon, the paraduma, which is shechted outside the base of Mikdash, is not a carbon. However, it's carbon-like, right? You've heard me say that before. It's, right? It has aspects that has elements of a carbon. Notably, when the Kohen is shechting the paraduma, he needs a vantage point into the entrance of the base of Mikdash. That's the halacha. It's based on a pasuk. So he needs a vantage point. So that vantage point, how is it going to be? So there must be a way where he can look. Now, my eyesight is good. It's much better, much improved. But I can't imagine what kind of clarity he's going to see. I don't know distance wise how far away he is, but at least there has to be the potential, the possibility where he can see into the entrance of the Heichal. And so now, based on a series of elevations that we're going to learn right now, so basically there has to be at least an opportunity for the Kohen to see the entrance of the Heichal. So did not. So we learned in the Mishnah, Ezros Nashim, Ha'isa Orech Me'av V'Shoshim V'Chamesh, Arocha Me'av V'Shoshim V'Chamesh. So the Ezros Nashim. So basically we're going east to west. So we start with Ezros Nashim, which is 135 by 135. Arba L'Shakot Hayu, Bedal Mitzvoseha. So there were four corners of the Ezros Nashim. So Umayyam Mishamsho. So what are they used for? So Dromus Mizrachis. So we're starting over here in the southeast. So he has Elishka San Nazirim, Shasham Nazirim, Avashim Eshlameim. So the Nazir is going to be cooking the Shlamim, a part of the Shlamim of the Nazir. Nazir, when he concludes his Naziros, is going to be bringing three Karbanos. One of the three Karbanos is going to be a Karban Shlamim, and it is going to be cooked in a pot, specifically in the southeast corner of the Ezros Nashim. Omegalchen Sarim, Meshachin Tachas Adud, and as what you and I would consider to be an unusual procedure, but it's the mitzvah Torah, is that they cut off their hair and they put it under the pot that's being, where the leg of the shlamim is being cooked. Okay, all that's happening in the southeast side of the Ezros Nashim. Mizrach Tzfonis, now we're in the northeast. So he aisa lishkas dira eitzim, shesham, kohan, and bali mum, and mum, de mamatliam, be eitzim, shekol eit sheish botalas, pasul agabim mizbeach. And so this is where, the wood is going to get dewormed or inspected for worms to make sure that that there's no wood that goes up onto the mizbeach that has worms in it. Any wood that has worms in it is pasul agabe mizbeach. A really interesting Rambam, right? I don't have the Lashon Rambam in front of me, but a really interesting Rambam over here, where the Rambam notes that if wood has worm in it, so it's pasul agabe mizbeach. It's basically like a mum. It's like the wood itself is a blemished wood, meaning that under normal circumstances, the way I would have explained the Mishnah here in Midos is that the Kohanim over there are going to be deworming the wood. They'll just simply take the worms out of the wood. From the way the Rambam presents it, sounds like that when the wood has worm in it, it is now a mum. In fact, the simple reading of the Mishnah Midos seems to indicate that. Okay. I could go a little bit longer on this Rambam, but right now, that's good. And Mizbech, Tzfon is Maravis now. I'm sorry, Lagabe Mizbech, period, comma. Tzfon is Maravis now. We're in the northwest. So he Isa Lishka Sam Mitzarayim. So that's the Lishka of the Mitzarayim. Now, exactly what that means, Mitzarayim, as we know, are Chul Samachana. They're totally outside the camp. So presumably what it means over here is that all the carbonates that are needed by the Mitzarayim and all the, the oil that's used by the Mitzarayim, so all that's stored in this corner. My Rav is Dromitz, we're in the southwest over here. I'm a Rav Laz Ben Yaakov, Shachachti, Maisa Mishamesh. So Rav Laz Ben Yaakov says, no, I forgot. Okay, I forgot. So the sense that you get now is that the speaker, if you will, meaning our tour guide, has been up until now, Rav Laz Ben Yaakov. So just from the fact that this one line of the Mishnah, where Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, you know, I forgot what's in the southwest. So that means that our tour guide this whole time has been Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, which leads the Gemara to the conclusion that all the Mishnayos and Midos are going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Abba Shalom Amar Ba Yanosin Yan Veshemen V'yaisa Nikres Lishkas Beis Sham Naya. So and Abba Shalom here, either he supplements or let's say he supplements. He tells us that in the southwest corner, that's where the wine was stored. That's where the oil was stored. In fact, it was called Beis Manaya. Okay, so. So again, that's proof number one that the Mishnayos and Midos are going like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, all because of that one little quip. Hachinami Mistamra, the Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, he did not. So the Gemara says, okay, and now I'm telling you that these Mishnayos are going like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, and now we're going to get to proof number two today. So far we had one proof, and now we're going to have a second proof. The second proof starts over here. Now, the introduction I said earlier regarding the Paraduma, so I misplaced the introduction. Right, I said it as we were about to explain the corners of the Esrus Nashim. Okay, a misplaced introduction. Take the introduction I said like about 5 minutes ago, and now move it over here. Okay, I'm talking to my editor. There is no editor. So anyway, so kolak talam shayusham hayu gvoim chutz mikol to mizrach shakoin hasarfes apar omid bahara mishcha umechavim v'ro keneged pischo shahecha b'shas hazas adam. Okay, so now, here we are with the elevation. And so the Mishnah over here gives it to us really quickly, although there's going to be a little bit more elaboration, but it gives it to us really quickly. And that is that the walls of every area in the Beis HaMikdash, the wall of the Azari, the wall of the Esrus Nashim, so all these walls were higher in nature, except for the eastern wall of the Harabais. Eastern wall of the Harabais, so it was not high. In fact, it was low. And the reason why it was low is so that the Kohen, who is going to be burning the Paraduma and sprinkling the blood of the Paraduma in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash, so what he's going to be doing is that he's going to have a vantage point. He has to see the entrance of the Heichal. Now again, as I pointed out, he's really far away, right? Total distance, I don't know. But he was outside of the Azara, outside of the Esrus Nashim, outside of the Har Abayis. He was on what we call Har Mishcha, Mount Olives. But he was really far away, but at least he needed to see, there had to have been an opportunity for him to see the entrance of the Echal. Now, that's a fact. Now what we're going to do over here is that we're going to prove that this Mishnah, which is a Mishnah Midos, is necessarily going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So how do we do that? V'tanan. Kol pesachim shayisham gvom esrim amma v'rochvim esrim ammas. So first of all, in terms of the actual entrances, every entrance is 20 by 10, with one notable exception, the entrance to the Ulam, which was much larger. But in general, though, entrances were 20 by 10. 20 ammas in height, 10 ammas in width. Vitanan, lifnim mimenu sarek. So now what we're doing over here is that we're just rattling off Mishnayos and Midos. And the purpose of this is to just simply go. We're going to head from the east to the west, and we're just going to continue noting the elevation as we're going up. Now I'm going to do this quickly. This could be done in a much longer format, but I'm going to do this on slightly more quickly. And again, it's really helpful if you have some pictures to look at. So, if you're looking at your screen, by the way, you're going to see, I'm going to follow along over here on the screen. V'tanan lifnim mimenu ha'chel esar amos. So now, when you're going interior to the chel, so it's going to be 10 amos, v'shem esar amalas ha'yusham. And there were 12 steps over there, ramala chatiyama v'shilcha chatiyama. And each step was a height of a half an amah, a landing of a half an amah. So for the, so that means to say that your first elevation is going up 6 amos. Okay, the math here is really simple, 12 steps in total, half an amma for every elevation, so that makes for 6 ammas. So our first elevation going up from the Har Abayis, that's going to be our ground zero, if you will, not the best way to describe it, but that's going to be our starting point. So our first elevation going up, headed westbound, is going to be 6 ammas up. Okay, and that takes us now to Esrus Nashim. Good. Now, Tesva Malos Olos Mitocha Hayardos Me'Esrus Rishon Le'Esrus Nashim. So now we're going to go basically look at the elevation that goes from Esrus Nashim up to the Azara itself, and there are a total of 15 steps. Ramah Lachatziyama V'Shilcha Chatziyama. Once again, elevation of each step is a half an amma. The landing of each step is going to be a half an amma. Vitanan. And so that moves us up now another 7.5 ammas. Vitanan beina ulam la mizbechav beis amma. The distance in the distance in length from the beginning of the Azar until the Mizbech is 22 amas v'shtemesrei ma'as la'yisham. There are another 12 steps going up over there. Ramallah chatziyama v'shocha chatziyama. Once again, it's always going to be the same elevation of the steps, and that's going to be another half an amma. So that is going to be another 6 amas going up. So v'tanan Rav Elazar ben Yaakov amar ma'alah haisa sham v'gavoa amma. Now Rav Elazar ben Yaakov introduces another step, which is v'gavoa amma. It's one amma above that. V'duchenos in ala, and there was some sort of platform over there. Uvo shalosh malot shel chatzi chatzi amma, and another 3 steps going up, each one of them being a half an amma. Okay, so we are now now what we're going to do is that we're going to be taking a look at the total. Now, Iyamar Bishlama Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, so the Gemara says now, when you take the total elevation according to Rav Elazar, so now what has happened? What has happened is the following, is that if we go back all the way to the eastern gate of the Har Habayis, if the wall that went over the entrance is a standard wall, so then what you have over there is obstruction. Meaning that that wall would obstruct the viewpoint from the Kohen who is shechting the Paraduma to the entrance of the Heichal. That's why the Mishnah in Mito says that basically the wall on the eastern side, really low. Meaning after the entrance of the Har Habayis, the entrance of the Har Habayis was 20 amas high. So after that, there was a little bit of wall over, obviously. In other words, it needed some sort of lintel. But after that, it basically cut really short. So what the Kohen now is able to do is look over the wall of the Har Habayis and then through every other doorway. And again, now, if you have a visual aid over here, it's going to be really helpful to help you see how you now have a straight line going over the wall of the Har Habayis through all the other doorways until you get to the entrance of the Heichal. That is proof that the Mishnah in Midos is going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. But let's say for a moment that the Mishnah is going like the Chachamim. So if the Mishnah is going like the Chachamim, I can make the wall over the eastern gate of the Har Habayis as high as I want. Aren't you worried about obstruction? No. Because according to the Chachamim, the elevation going from east to west is not 20.5. Meaning, take all the numbers that we went through, and the sum total is going to be, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, 20.5. Which means that you have obstruction. But according to the Chachamim, it was not 20.5. It was Rav Elazar ben Yaakov who had those extra steps. According to the Chachamim, it's going to be a total of 19.5. Now, admittedly, we are now talking about a 1.5 amma window opening to go from the Kohen with the Paraduma to the entrance of the Heichal. Doesn't matter. The point is that there is some visualization. There is a vantage point. So according to the Chachamim, I can make the wall over the Har Habayis, over the eastern gate of the Har Habayis as high as I want, because I will have a vantage point going just looking through the actual entrance itself. But according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, there's no vantage point, because according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, the elevation is 20.5, and so there's therefore obstruction. Therefore, I have to look over the wall of the Har Habayis. So ha'ika pagad amta, I'm just reading in the Gemara, ha'ika pagad amta demizchazalei pizcha begavai. Elav shvamina Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So you see that the Mishnayos and Midos are going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. And as I pointed out now, that will be proof number 2 that the Mishnayos are going like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Good. So to which the Gemara says, El Al Shmamina, Rav Adabav Amar. So what the Gemara now is going to do for the remainder of today's daf is that the Gemara is going to at least try to counter argue a little bit. The Gemara is going to suggest or going to present that maybe it's not true. Maybe the Mishnayos and Midos are not going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, or at least this particular proof may not be a proof. So Rav Adabav Amar Hamani Rav Yehudahi. You know, here's what we can argue. We can argue that the author of the Mishnah Midos is Rav Yehuda. Why? The Tanya, because we learned in the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Amizbech Memutza Va'omed, Be'emsa Azara Shloshim Mishnaim Amos, Hayula. So where is the placement of the Mizbech? So now we move to a new discussion. A new discussion where the basic point of this discussion is going to be that there's going to be obstruction. Okay, obstruction in that the Mizbeach is going to be obstructing the viewpoint, the vantage point. Now, where was the Mizbeach placed? So here's what we know. We know for sure where the Mizbeach is placed in terms of in the Azar itself, going from east to west. Meaning we know how far it is from the eastern section of the Azara until where the Mizbeach begins, and then from the Mizbeach until the actual Heichal itself. So that part we know. Here's the part where we have uncertainty. And that is, where was the Mizbeach placed on a north-south trajectory? And here we have a debate. We saw this back in Midos. We saw this back in Tamid. And here we have a debate in terms of where does it belong in terms of a north-south trajectory. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, so here we are quoting a Braisa in Zvachim. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mizbeach Mamutzav Omer Bemsa Azara. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it is right there in the center. Yeah, here we go. So it's right there in the center. It's not the best. It doesn't matter. So Be'emsa Azara Ushloshim Shtaim Amos Ayulo. Now remember that the foundation of the Mizbeach is 32. So Shloshim Shtaim Amos Ayulo. Eser Amos Keneged Pitzcho Shel Heichal. The 10 Amos opposite the Pesach of the Heichal. Meaning 10 Amos over here talking about the height of the Mizbeach. Yudalf Amos L'Safim, Yudalf Amos L'Darom. The 11 Amos headed northbound, that was incorrect. 10 Amos, which are centered against the entrance of the Heichal, right? The Heichal, the entrance of the Heichal was 20 by 10. So the entrance now is going to be, totally obstructed by the Mizbeach. And then, Yudalf L'Safim, Yudalf L'Darom. Remember, the Mizbeach itself was a total of 32. So 10 of the center, 11 to the north of it, 11 to the south of it. Okay, getting to the number of 32. Nimsa Mizbeach Mechuvan, Keneged Heichal V'Koslav. That means that the Mizbeach is serving basically as obstruction. Now, Isa Gadacha Midos Rabbi Yehudihi, Mizbeach, I'm sorry, that's already going to be the counter-argument. What comes out now over here is that the Gemara is just trying to push back. Really, what the Gemara now is trying to do is say, you know why the wall of the entrance of the Har HaBayis, the eastern side of the Har HaBayis is so low? Because you need a vantage point. And up until now, we were arguing it's a function of elevation. What the Gemara now is arguing is maybe not. Maybe that's not the case. Maybe the reason why I need to look over the wall and not through the entrance is because if I look through the entrance, I'm not going to be able to see the entrance of the Heichal. Why? Because the Mizbeach is standing there and it's blocking and it's obstructing the view. Okay. This is what the Gemara is trying to argue. And if this argument proves to be correct, so it just simply means that we don't have a second definitive proof that the Mishnayos and Midos are in fact going like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. And what the Gemara now is going to do is the Gemara is going to push back. And the Gemara says, you are not correct. So the Isa Kedach Midos Rabbi Yehuda Mizbeach Bemsa Azar Mimishkach Alei. The Gemara says, I know you're not right, because let's take a look now at the Mishnayos and Midos. The Mishnayos and Midos are pretty clear, right? I'm being not totally committal about it, but it's pretty clear, but pretty much where the Mizbeach is located. V'tzanan kol azar ha'isal rech mea, v'shmon v'sheva rech mea, v'shoshim v'chamesh. Here are the Mishnayos and Midos. The Mishnayos and Midos gives us a floor plan of the Azara, 187 by 135, 187 in length, meaning length over here means east-west, 135 in north-south, and mina mizrach lamara of mea, v'shmon v'sheva, makam jesus ragla yisrael yud alfama. And we're going to do this quickly because this is not the part that we're interested in right now. Going from east to west, so we start off with the Drisos Ragla Yisrael. That's where Bnei Yisrael go into the Azara, and basically the limits of where they go in. That's 11 Amos. Malkum Drisos Ragla Kohanim Yud Alf Ama. Now where the Kohanim, what's called the Drisos Ragla Kohanim, just simply a contrast to Yisrael. That's another 11 Amos. So that's now 22. Mizbeach Shoshim Vishayim. So the Mizbeach itself is 32. Remember, the Mizbeach itself is square. I know we talked about it 32 being north south. It's also 32 east west. And I also know that we just discussed in yesterday's daf that there was a little bit of the yesod missing on the southern side and on the eastern side, but still, from a layout standpoint, we're still going to call it a square of 32. So, bein ulam lemizbech es v'shtayim. So, from the ulam to the mizbech it's 22. You'll forgive me. I'm not going to be keeping a running sum total. I know it gets to 187. V'ha'hechal kuf amma, and the hechal itself is 100 amas. V'yud alaf amma, achori beis ha-kaparas, and then 11 amos from the back of the back, meaning the western side of the hechal, until the western wall of the azara. Okay, that is all from the east-west. Again, important, but just not for our purposes right now. Min ha'darim l'tzav from me'avishloshim v'chamesh. Now we're going to go from the north to the south. Actually, we're going to go from the south to the north. Ha'keves v'amizbech shishim v'shtayim. So the ramp in the mizbech is going to be a total of 62. Right? We know we just established that the actual mizbech itself is 32. The length of the ramp is going to be 30. Totaling 62. Min mizbech l'tabaos ches amos, from the mizbech until the tabaos. Those were the rings that were directly north of the. Here's a good picture. So from the northern side of the mizbech up until the rings, that's another 8 amos. Malkam atabaos esrim va'arba'a. Now the actual rings itself span 24 amos. Again, if you have pictures over here, extraordinarily helpful. Min atabaos l'shulchanos arba, min ha'shulchanos l'nanasim arba, min ha'nanasim l'kotel azara, ches amos. So now, another 4 plus 4 plus the actual area of the nanasim. Nanasim, by the way, are just basically the poles where they hook the animal on when cleaning the animal, and another 8 amos after that. V'hamosar bein keves ulekoso umakom ananasim. Now, in terms of whatever else there were, meaning that basically we know the total, 135. We are given a certain set of numbers, 62 for the actual mizbech itself, 8 between the mizbech and the rings, 24 for the rings, another 8 for the tables, for the shochanos, another 8 from the nanasim to the northern wall. So the two unknown areas are the area of the nanasim and the area between the southern side of the ramp until the southern wall. Now, isagadacha midos Rabbi Yehudihi. So now, if you're telling me that the Mishnayos in midos is Rabbi Yehudihi, mizbech me'emtza azara mimishkachale. So, even though there are two numbers that are unknown, here's what we absolutely know. There is no way that the mizbech can be centered. Meaning, given that we know these numbers, so there's no way that the mizbech can be centered. Because if the mizbech were to be centered, so what we would do is that we would start off with the mizbech being at the midpoint, and now being at the midpoint, the numbers are going to be exceedingly smaller for everything the Mishnayos and Midos just laid out for us. So we know that the mizbech is not centered on the and from a north-south perspective. Good. So that's what we know. So now given that, so we see that the Mishnayos in Midos is not going like Rav Yehuda. Haruba de Mizbech b'darim kai. The vast majority of the Mizbech is found in the south. So Allah Shmamina, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, he Shmamina. So now it means that being that the Mishnayos in Midos is not going like Rebbe Yehuda, the Mishnayos in Midos are therefore must be going like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Good. So this is all a conclusion, the second proof of today's daf, that the Mishnah Semitas are going like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Good. Let's quickly summarize. When I say summarize, obviously there were a lot of details today, but in terms of overarching points of today's daf, so basically it comes out like this. It comes out that we started with a Mishnah in Tamid, then we quoted a Mishnah in Midos, and we noted that the Mishnah in Tamid and the Mishnah in Midos are not in agreement with one another in terms of laying out the floor plan of the Beis HaMokad. That was the starting point of the discussion. The response of the Gemara is, yeah, the Mishnah and Talmud is offered to us by one set of Tanaim, not sure who they are, unidentified, but the Mishnah Midos is Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. That's the answer. Okay, it's not a satisfying answer, it just simply means it's a machlokas, but it is a machlokas. Good. And then from that point going forward, the rest of today's daf, for all of Tet Zayin, is a proof that the Mishnayos in Midos are going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. And to quickly summarize the two proofs, the first one's easy. The first one is where the Mishnayos in Midos are going through the layout of the Esros Nashim, and the Mishnayos in Midos says, you know, that corner, that corner, that corner, and get to the fourth corner, and the Mishnah says, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, you know, I forgot what was in that fourth corner. Which means that it sounds like our tour guide of Mishnayos and Midos is going like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Proof number one. Proof number two is the elevations, meaning that when you're going from east to west, the elevations takes us down to the point where the total elevation from the eastern gate of Har Abayis all the way to the entrance of the Heichal is 20 and a half. That's significant because the Mishnah Midos describes how the eastern wall was basically cut short so that when the Kohen who is shechting and burning the paraduma and sprinkling the blood in the direction will have a visual vantage point to get from where he is into the entrance of the Heichal. And the only way that works is if you work with the numbers given to us by Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. That's the only way that it works. Meaning if you work with the numbers given to us by the Chachamim, you don't need a shorter wall on the Har Abayis. Because you just simply look through the doorway. Because according to the Chachamim, the elevation is only 19 and a half. The entrance to the Har Abayis is 20 amas high. So you're given, admittedly small, but a 3-tefach window, if you will, as a vantage point. So that's another proof that the Mishnayos in Midos are going like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. For a moment, the Gemara thought, you know, we could quibble because we could suggest that the obstruction is not based on the elevation, but the obstruction is based on the Mizbeach. Because the Mizbeach is placed right there in the center, and that's what is obstructing our viewpoint. But the Gemara says no, because we know that according to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, and we know that the Mishnayos and Midos don't have the Mizbeach centered, but it has most of the Mizbeach actually located in the south, not in the north. So it's not the Mizbeach that's obstructing. Well, if it's not the Mizbeach that's obstructing, so therefore it must be the elevation that's obstructing. So we actually do like the second proof of that the Mishnayos and Midos are going like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov.